Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard and fire up a smoker. I don't know about where you are, but it's going to be above 50 degrees. We got our January thaw predicted for this weekend. And you know what? There is not a better reason for you to get out and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, you nailed it, man. You nailed it right there. If your back deck was full of snow because you were a lazy dog and didn't shovel around your grill, you got no excuses now. I know that stuff's all gone.
Yeah, a little icier earlier this week, but even that's gone now. And speaking of ice, did a little ice fishing this past week, Bob.
Did you?
Yep, went out with my buddy Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery. And as you guys know, if you listen in, Chaz is a world competitor when it comes to ice fishing. We just went on a little lake here in West Michigan, and by golly, if he didn't catch some big old 14-inch crappies.
Really?
Man, yeah, and he got
so he's not all talk, huh?
No, he's not all talk.
Nice.
And you know what? I was sitting
You're trying to improve your ice fishing skills a little bit, then,
right,
aren't you?
And I was sitting close to him, and I wasn't catching 14-inch crappies. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So the man does have some skills. But anyway, came back in and made some crappie cakes out of those things, where actually took the fillets, chopped them up a little bit with the breadcrumbs and a little bit of Old Bay seasoning, put an egg or two in there, and then I put those things on the smoker and let them smoke down till they were crispy on the outside. Oh, man. It's just like a crab cake recipe, only I made them with crappie and diced that stuff up. I'm telling you what, that was fabulous. Just better than fried.
Who better to do it than you?
Right.
Crappie Joppy making crappie cakes.
Yeah, that reminds me of Rob Russell. I don't know how he's doing, but anyway.
Yeah, well, the Crappie Joppy, it was one of your first names because Hoppy Joppy set well.
Yeah.
You don't like hoppy beer, so.
Right. But we're going to explore that a little bit later in the show, too, because we got our friends from New Holland in today, and you're not going to want to miss what we're going to talk about, because not only do they make fabulous beer and spirits, they also have a restaurant called the Knickerbocker that is amazing, and we're going to dive into that a little bit because it's just not your average grub and pub kind of place.
Well, I had an especially interesting start off to the week, and you ended up joining me, but we had to feed 300 guys for our steak night at Impact Church, and I got this new grill, this new smoker, so I said, okay, I'm just going to smoke all these loins. First of all, Sobey sold me some nice ribeyes, and then he bound them all back together after they were seasoned, so it was still like a whole loin.
Right.
And I put them, it's got all these stainless rotisserie racks, so I thought, well, we do prime rib all the time, so it'll just be like a prime rib, and then I'll pull it apart. Well, it was cold enough that it didn't get up to temp. I didn't overwhack the charcoal box on this thing. It's an American Barbecue Systems Judge, and it's probably only one of the fifth or sixth times I've actually cooked with it because I got it right at the end of the year, and it was a challenge. I learned a lot of things, and one of the things is when there's 300 steaks, and we had to pack them all in those racks.
Well, there was 12 racks that rotate in this thing like a carousel. It's on the inside,
right,
of it, right?
So when there's,
and every one of those racks was full of,
right,
loins.
And when there's that much, I mean, it's just like baking a prime rib if your oven's full of prime rib.
Right.
So it's not, you're not going to get your normal time. So you know, I underestimated the time, thinking an hour and 45 minutes would do it. No, it's going to be like 3.5 hours next time if we do it that way. But you came out. Bruce Mikoff came out because he goes there
from
to help
yep.
out from Garrett's Appliance. And Brandon Molinix from Modern Photography. And so there was four of us out there. choking under the canopy in smoke. So they weren't ready in time. So fortunately, that judge has grates that go over the firebox. So we just started pulling them off and grilling them over the live coals. And that's why I still don't have any hair on my knuckles.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before that one goes back. But
it was there's
a couple things that I'll fill in a couple blanks is that thing was so full of meat. I mean, there was every inch of every rack, and those steaks were packed together. There was no way that core temperature was ever going to get up before the outsides of them were overdone. So it was good that we grilled them.
Yes.
But the other thing is that when we opened that firebox on the smoker, it's an offset smoker. When you open that firebox, the first thing is oxygen just floods in there and hits those coals, and they turned red hot and started shooting up about 12-inch flames. And
well,
the grates were only about 14 inches.
But when you put
coal.
Those greasy steaks on top of it, it helps them a little bit,
right.
too.
Yeah, exactly. So and, that's, ribeye, it's got a lot of fat in it, right? So we were throwing those on there, and we both had elbow-length gloves on and just trying to keep the flames down. We had two guys, you know, tipping water on that. It was a little bit of a goat rodeo.
My goal was to screw them up this year really bad so they didn't invite us back.
Yeah. Well, we have the right to
say no.
Don't generally.
Yeah. All right. I'll flip Dan Boone on to you next time.
Right. Yeah. No, it's all good. But, you know, lesson learned there, I think more than anything, is that we've said this before and we broke our own rule, and that is don't try something for the first time when you need to perform. Right? We had not done that before. Put that.
How else are you going to perfect it, though? When are you going to get to put that many steaks on a grill?
So? But it should have been a smaller little bit of
practice on 300 with your family.
Right.
That's what he's really saying.
The family rebellion.
I tried a new technique this week. My wife, after church Sunday, she goes, I got some steaks. I'd like to do some shish kebab, which means would you cut up some sirloin and marinate them and, you know, make me dinner? That's translated Maureen code right there.
Is that it?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, that sounds good. You know, shish kebabs, love them, right?
Right. Well, and your wife's Lebanese, so
yeah,
that's pretty much heritage.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, that sounds cool. And she goes, isn't there a way you can do it without having to skewer them all? Because I don't really want to skewer them, and I don't want you to have to do it. And I'm like,
Just went from shish kebab to stir fry?
So I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. You know, I got some baskets and stuff. I could throw them on in the grill loose. So what I did was I took – this is actually better than skewers because you don't have to skewer them. I had beautiful chunks of sirloin marinated in about 6 hours in Charlie's recipe. And then I had a bunch of my last three Vidalias, which are precious if you love onions, right? Chopped them all up, threw them in a Ziploc, let them go 6 hours. And then I got some of my nice barbecue baskets out and pans with the holes in them. And I put that stuff on my grill just in those pans. And I was kind of flipping them. One's that mesh basket. So you can literally just flip the whole thing and nothing comes out. Mm-hmm. So I did the meat and the onions in that. And then I threw in a bunch of green peppers. And then at the last minute, I threw in, so I took that stuff off. Then last minute I did green peppers, and just for like a couple minutes, I did a bunch of grape tomatoes. Cool thing is, you're not piercing the tomato, which always kills it in a shish kebab. You don't have to overcook it to stay with the meat.
Right.
It was actually the perfect way to do it. So I'm going to say I may never skewer another kebab again. This was the perfect way to do it. And everything was exactly where you wanted it.
Sure,
you know?
Cooked-wise,
yeah.
As far as doneness, yeah.
Yeah, so absolutely. What I need now is about a 3-foot by 2-foot basket so I can just put the whole thing on the grate.
Right.
Because round appliances for a grill don't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know who the guy ever was that thought of that. That made a round pan for a square
grill, round.
Right?
Yeah.
Every one of them are. Well, anyway, hey, there's your next $1 million invention, Barbecue Bob. Well, coming up next, we have the pleasure of having a couple guys from New Holland Brewery. And we got Joel Peterson, who's on the sales and marketing side. He's going to talk about some cool stuff. And then we got Chef Dale, who you aren't going to believe what this guy's got going on at this restaurant. It's unlike anything you've heard. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. It's going to be north of 50 degrees today if the weather forecaster is spot on. And that just means one thing, is that there is no reason not to be out in your backyard and firing up a grill or a smoker. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Talk Network. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Oh, it's just a great time to be alive, buddy, with the technologies that we have been afforded in this country, this wonderful country. I mean, the new products, the services, all the things being unleashed. I mean, we've got, you know, we had a successful transition to government yesterday. It's just a great time to be alive.
Sure.
And some of the most innovative people I've met in my life in Michigan have been some of the Hollanders. If you heard the clippity-clop on the way in, those wooden shoes that were coming in, is because we got some Hollanders in here right now making beer. And their name is New Holland Brewing Company. Actually, Joel Peterson's probably more of a Swede or an Englishman than he is a Hollander. But from New Holland Brewing, Vice President of Marketing, Joel Peterson, welcome to the Grilling Guys Show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
We have to make some wooden shoe jokes once in a while because Jop's actually Dutch.
Yeah,
so
you know,
so
what? I was standing here just waiting to get
well,
this.
Well, you do all the Finn jokes, so this is one of my chances to just, you know, have a little fun.
Yeah.
He gets a little sensitive, so you can only take it in so small.
I'm okay.
But anyway, New Holland, you guys, you've built this wonderful business, and you're kind of new to your role, Joel.
Sure. Well, I've been in it for about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
So in beer for going on probably 12 years.
Well, I noticed looking at your resume, I was looking at on the New Holland website, that you have a storied past in beer.
Yeah, I've worked, as I said, about 12 years in beer, and born and raised Grand Rapids, but been all around the country, worked for the big guys, Miller Brewing, Miller Coors, out on the West Coast with some craft brewers for a while, but got an amazing chance to come back home and work at New Holland, and it's been fantastic.
Tell us about your beer experience in Oregon.
Sure. I worked for a company called Craft Brew Alliance out in Oregon. They represent 5 or 6 craft brands, mainly on the West Coast. Some big guys like Kona, Red Hook, Widmer. And it's just an amazing scene out there. Obviously, Portland, Oregon thinks of itself as kind of a mecca of craft brew. But even out there, I'll tell you what, West Michigan was on the map.
Really?
I mean, they knew and talked about West Michigan all the time with what we're doing with beer here. And
we arrived, huh?
Yeah, it was great. And they know what we're doing, and we're a player.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And you guys just put in this Knickerbocker facility here in Grand Rapids.
Right.
Which we're going to talk about in the next segment. With you brought your corporate chef with you. I mean, look at all the breweries in West Michigan alone. I mean, let alone Detroit, which I haven't scratched the surface in.
Yeah, right. I mean, the east side of the state is coming around. I would say we've led quite a bit over here on the west side and central. Obviously, Bell's, Founders being big players in the state. But the east side is coming around, and some of the things happening in Detroit are pretty exciting right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I noticed you have some cups full of some liquid there.
Yeah,
what
I brought
are we,
you
what
guys
are we
a
doing?
Few beers.
What are we doing here?
Brought you a bunch of different stuff today. The ones I've got poured out here are Dragon's Milk Triple Mashed. That's in our Reserve series. So, four times a year, we put out a special edition of Dragon's Milk where we highlight either brewing techniques or flavors. We've done raspberry. We've done vanilla chai. This one is the triple mash. This one's really special to us.
Really?
Because we only age this product in barrels that come out of our own distillery. And we mash back in several times in the brewing process to really punch up the flavors in the beer. Now, this one you got to watch out for. This is a 17 percenter. So,
oh my gosh,
that'll get you started in the morning.
Wow,
and
breakfast for you.
But it is.
I noticed you don't have a cup for yourself.
Amazing.
You're so smart. You guys are tricky.
He's got to work later
They're
today.
They're tricky.
Yeah. It's an amazingly smooth beer and doesn't taste like a 17 percenter. And this is one that the masses really go wild for out there.
I've never heard of a 17 percent beer.
Well, give it a taste because I just did, and it's fabulous. So, Joel, this Dragon's Milk is kind of a signature beer for the brewery, right? You've come out with this quite a while ago, and like you said, is it always the four special beers you do a year, are they always a Dragon's Milk beer?
Yes, they are. This is the Dragon's Milk Reserve Series. Dragon's Milk has really become our flagship. It's a phenomenal product. We've really led the way with, normally a bourbon barrel stout is a limited release for most breweries. Coming out, they brew it, they release it, you wait in line to buy a bottle of it, and you get your chance to drink it. With Dragon's Milk, we were committed to bringing this to everyone all the time. If it was the best liquid we could produce, we didn't want people to have to wait for it. We felt like you should be able to go and get this to celebrate all your little everyday celebrations.
That's right.
Anytime you're going to grill, you know?
Yep,
right.
And so we brew this year-round. It's our flagship. It's our top seller. And the Reserve Series has come out of that, and Dragon's Milk is just an incredible platform for us to show off different flavor profiles, different barrel aging techniques.
So tell everybody what you mean when you say triple mashed.
So that just means we mash back in several times during the brewing process. Normally you mash in once. We just mash back in two, three times. It keeps the fermentation going.
But the mashing in, what does that mean?
That is bringing back in the grain, the wet grain that is the mash.
That you already, is that called spurged?
Yes, and then we're adding the yeast in at that point to start to get it to eat the sugars out of there, and we add mash in that wet grain several times during the brewing process. It keeps the yeast going, which, keeps producing the nice little alcohol.
Yeah, that's how you get to 17%.
And I mean, this was definitely not intended to just see how high we get the alcohol in it.
Yes, it was.
That's secondary.
It's a factor, sure.
Yeah, but it's really, it punches up the flavor that's in there.
Job, do you remember these guys hanging out with us at our very first chili cook-off?
Yeah, right, yep.
They had Cabin Fever and Dragon's Milk.
Right.
I remember cleaning up the tent at the end of the afternoon. We did take first place, our very first chili cook-off, certified chili cook-off we did.
Right.
And I remember like going up and trying to get one more Dragon's Milk, and they're like, no, man, we blew the keg. Right. And I started kind of shaking just a little bit. It's like, huh?
So, Joel, you guys make fabulous beer, but that's not all you do there, right? You're making some spirits, too, aren't you?
Right. We are actually Michigan's largest distiller, and we've been doing it for about 11 years now, and I'll tell you what, it is a passion of ours. We've got on-site distilling here at the Knickerbocker in Grand Rapids. We've also got our main production distillery out in Holland, and it has just really opened our eyes to what can be done. Many years ago when we had our pub, we couldn't sell anything in there that we didn't create. We wanted to be able to make cocktails, so it seemed natural. Let's make spirits. And it has really become incredible.
And your first spirits that you made, I remember when you came out with them. It seems like bourbon was one of the first ones you came out with.
Absolutely.
And that was like right when the law changed that you could actually make bourbon outside of Kentucky.
Yes, Zeppelin Bend is our single malt. That's probably our longest running spirit. Our top seller right now is Beer Barrel Bourbon. So after we age Dragon's Milk in the barrels, we bring them back to the distillery and finish the bourbon in those barrels. They take on some of the characteristics.
Kind of reverse process. How cool is that? Everybody else does it the other way.
Beer giving back to spirits. And then we've really had a lot of success recently with our incredible gin program, some of the best gins in the country.
Really? Now, you say gins in plural. Explain to me, are there different varieties or different strengths, or what's that mean?
Knickerbocker was our flagship gin in the first one we made. That's an incredible mix of spices in there and flavors. Now we've gone and built off of that. We've now got a gin finished on blueberries. We did a gin finished in wine barrels last year. And now our distillery in Grand Rapids has really become our lab to keep exploring.
Isn't that
the
crazy?
Flavors of gin.
I mean, listen to this stuff that's going on here.
Creative minds. They're just making new product that the market is gobbling up.
When I said it's a great time to be alive in America, these guys are prime examples of what you can do if you just unleash people to, you know, entrepreneurial spirit.
Let them be creative.
You know, you guys have so much, and Chef Dale's just chomping at the bit here to get in. He's actually as exciting or more exciting than you because the food really kind of overwhelms everything.
I agree with
that. Don't take a back seat, but you know, just slide over. We're coming back.
So coming up next, we're going to be talking with Chef Dale, and this guy's got a butcher shop in the basement of his restaurant. You're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
This is Job from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I hope you're out in your backyard or getting ready to be, because this is a January thaw, and we got to take advantage of it. We got to be cooking something on our grill. But to help you cook on your grill, we try to surround ourselves with people that know exactly what they're doing, and boy, we've got one now. What are you thinking, Bob?
I like to surround myself with people that know more than me at all times.
Absolutely.
It'll never make you look bad.
Right.
Unless you
try to tell them how to do their job.
That's right. But again, I'm not going to harp on it, but That's what we're living in here in West Michigan in particular, probably all over the country. But I just think we're so maybe because Grand Rapids is such an awesome place to get spoiled in. We have people like Chef Dale who's going to come in here right now from New Holland Brewing Company and just tell us what's up. So welcome to the show, Chef.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I'm really excited about being here. I'm kind of a fan. So,
oh, are you really? Moments.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, we're definitely a fan of yours because we saw your butcher shop.
Right. That dude's got a butcher food. Yeah.
Dude's got a butcher shop in his restaurant.
Yeah. Who's got that? So break that down. Let's start there. Why?
Well, one of the first things we were looking at was trying to build, in both the properties we have, we do whole animal butchery. So that is that we're buying half carcasses or full carcasses, and we're taking them apart and using the bits throughout the restaurants. So we had to plan for it. We wanted to do, when we were looking at the new project, we were like, well, let's be purposeful and create the space to do this with. Like, you know, if we're going to look at the future and we get into things with HACCP, how great would a refrigerated workspace be, you know, where we could, you know, safely and in a controlled environment do the things that we want to do.
Wait a minute, two things. First of all, did you say kind of a fan? No. What's HACCP?
Oh, well, certainly it's basically when you break the rules with the health department, some of the things that they don't really like long, prolonged cold smoking, things like that in a retail environment, they're not really fans of that unless you can find a way scientifically that you're controlling it. It's hazard analysis critical control point. So it's basically where the things can go wrong and
that's
identifying
we
where
don't
those
open
things
up
can
here.
Go wrong. It's not as applicable
that
in your backyard.
Point. That's that last part.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're shutting me down?
It's not as applicable in your backyard, but we run a giant restaurant. We serve thousands of people a week. So we want to make sure that what we're putting on the plate is the way it's supposed
rightfully
to be.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
So you have a refrigerated workspace, which doubles as a butcher shop and many other things.
Certainly.
Because
certainly.
I was in there and you gave us a little bit of a tour. And I think I saw some charcuterie. Maybe going on a little bit of that, and I also saw you're doing some of your own smoking and you're doing some of your own marinating. What's on the menu along those lines?
What we're really proud of is that we have a sort of a pâté program that we like a lot, where we're doing things like, that are like sausages, that are like loaves. Like if you think about meatloaf, country pâtés, French pâtés, we end up with lots of odd bits. As we take primal cuts out of a pig, we have our money cuts, we have the loin, we have belly, then we have all these other bits. So we have.
So I'm on a freeze frame. Pâté. Because I love liver pâté.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about pâté in this sense, is it the same deal?
We use livers in the pâté, but it's not like the liver-based whipped pâté that most people think of. It's more like a meatloaf or an uncased sausage.
Right. Right, okay.
Sort of. Sometimes garnished with nuts, sometimes dried fruit or bits of duck breast inside of it.
Really?
Cut a slice of it, and there'll be a slice of duck breast in the middle there.
You use bits of fruit in it, too?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very traditional.
And so do you have a typical favorite casing for stuff like that? Because you're talking about making linear-type sausage from it mostly, right?
Oh, yeah. We work a lot with cull fat. Cull fat, which is the netting that kind of goes on the outside there. If you hold it up, it looks like grandma's lace.
or
it's very beautiful.
Or Bob's wife's fishnet stocking.
Hey!
Yeah, right.
Oh, what's wrong in here? Come on. No, so how big is that when you fill that?
We do it in Pullman size pans. Those are like Wonder Bread pans, like loaf pans.
Okay.
It's just in netting. So you're actually stitching or weaving the net up?
The cull fat will just wrap around the force meat, which is the sausage. We call it a force meat. It's kind of an old French thing, I guess. I think it's from farce or farce.
It's kind of sexy, actually.
It kind of goes, yeah. I think everything sounds better in French.
It does.
So we wrap it, and the cull fat is just really made from fat. So where it takes outside heat, it kind of melts away. So it's basically like a casing that, for the most part, just kind of cooks off and cooks away and disappears. You can do really great things with it. We do a round sausage called a crepinette, where it's a sausage meat where we take dried plums, prunes that we rehydrate sometimes with things like Blue Sunday or sour beer. We've done that before. And so there's just like a little plum jam inside of a sausage wrapped in the crepinette.
Are you kidding me?
And it sears really nice in a pan.
I'm so hungry right now. What did you bring?
That's wow. Now, this is all because you have time and you have the meats down there to do this.
Certainly.
Now,
on top of that,
a whole bunch of skills.
They have the facility.
Right.
Okay, we're talking about, first of all, if you just tune in, it's the Grillin' Guys and the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Dragon's Milk is making my tongue thick. I can say that.
Right.
And we're talking with Chef Dale right now from New Holland Brewing Company. And we met you at the Knickerbocker. You have several properties you oversee. Yep. But the Knickerbocker in particular is this giant, 40,000 square foot building. It's right on 131. It's on the freeway at 131 and Bridge Street. I mean, if you're on the top floor, you're probably watching traffic going by, I'm guessing. So it's this fantastic facility with several dining rooms, an executive room, an outdoor garden, just all sorts of stuff. But in the basement, where your folks do all their good work, is an actual butchery.
Yeah, certainly. We have a bandsaw. We have a patio-matic, which we still haven't really even grown into that. We're starting our beef program. We're early into that. But we have a three-horse grinder that gets a workout every day. We have a daily sausage, which is on the menu all the time. And then since we're on the west side, we have to do a smoked kielbasa.
Sure.
A beautiful kielbasa. I think where we are with our kielbasa right now is just in a perfect, perfect place.
That sounds like a segment for the show, the daily sausage. You could do a lot of shows with that.
Right.
Anyway, so that's the cool thing. Versus beer, you can just take the daily sausage. I mean, people don't do that because they have to procure it from somebody. You're just literally going in the cellar, firing up the butcher shop, and grinding out some sausage.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Every day. It's a crazy amount of volume of food that comes out of that restaurant. Our butcher, Kevin Shipsy, does a fantastic job. He puts whole caraway seeds in the kielbasa, which I think is the great place where we are with that.
Yeah.
I think is just really great. And we have a Southern Pride smoker in the upstairs kitchen that does a really great job. And then a wood-fired pizza oven, which we also finish meats on.
That wood-fired pizza oven, did you guys just build that, or is that something you bought?
No, it's a wood stone, and I can confidently say there isn't another one. There certainly isn't another one exactly like that in the city. Most of them have a gas assist, but since our motto at New Holland is basically too hard for most people, is just about right for us, it seems like. And so
I like that.
It only works on wood. So
Joppy's going to steal that, by the way. No. I just want you to know. You don't know.
Well, I'll give you credit. No, you're right.
Yeah. We find the difficult way to do everything. So we have it relies strictly on wood. So if the pizza guy or the guy who's working that station isn't keeping up the fire, then the whole show crashes down. And knock on wood, so thankfully we've been able to rock it just fantastic. It has not been an issue one time.
Jop, this place is 3 miles deep and a half mile high.
Right. And we haven't even scratched the surface of it, because when we took us through the tour here a couple weeks ago when we were there, he was preparing his own meat for aging. He's preparing his own meat with marinades. And I saw fowl. You mentioned the duck, and there's lamb, and there's the beef, and
pork. I just want to tell you that there's two guys I'm going to invite to deer camp ahead of you.
So we need to foreplay stuff, is what he's saying. Yeah.
No problem if they hang around. We'll just forget the stuff that's on the show plan. Stick around, man.
Because,
we want this stuff.
This is interesting stuff because, like I said, you guys are doing stuff nobody else does, and people need to know about that. So you listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsman serving sportsmen. Satisfaction's been our name since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com. I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We got our friends from New Holland Brewing here, and this Dragon's Milk is starting to make me a little sleepy. But that's because the
wake up.
That's because the Dragon put a little bit of extra in this juice. But anyway, it's cool to have you guys here. We've got Joel and Chef Dale from the Knickerbocker, which is the Grand Rapids location, but they have a big location out in Holland as well. Isn't that right, Bob?
That's right. So welcome back. Thanks for joining us. If you just tuned in, we're doing all things kind of Michigan today, and we picked New Holland because we kind of have gotten to be pretty blown away with this Knickerbocker facility in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But you'll find New Holland. You guys, I travel all over the country for my real job, and I'm seeing New Holland everywhere, and it makes me chuckle. Because I'm always perusing the racks, whether I'm in Denver or, like, I'm headed out to Sacramento at the end of the next week, Vancouver after that. I could be, you know, who knows where. I'm seeing, I mean, New Holland. I honestly had no clue you guys were getting the penetration in the marketplace that you're getting. And, Joel, you're probably part of that reason, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in about 33 states now with the beer, 20-some states with the spirits, starting to have great success as we go, you know, further afield, and still have a few big markets to pick up, but it's been a fun ride.
Joel, you mentioned something about Pabst earlier. Is that something that we can talk about?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's public knowledge.
Been in the news.
Yes, so we signed a really exciting distribution agreement with Pabst. We did not sell. We remain 100% independently owned, so no equity.
Who didn't grow up with Pabst, okay?
Yeah.
Probably the first beer we all ever had.
Everybody, everybody.
I still enjoy a PBR, I'll be honest.
I do, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, especially even within the craft brewing community, every brewer, when they're not drinking craft brew, is probably picking up a PBR.
Well, that's kind of, you know what PBR is? That's my maintenance beer. It is, because number one, I like it. Number two, my family's from the UP. That was big up there. That and old style.
Right.
And it's easy to drink.
So what's New Holland doing with Pabst in a nutshell?
Right. Pabst becomes our sales force and our representation out in the market to our wholesalers.
Oh, cool.
So we still control the brand. We still do all the brewing. You know, we run what the lineup is going to be, what new beers are we going to come out with. Pabst becomes our sales force. Obviously, they've got hundreds of salespeople in the market. I've got 10. Right. And so we get a lot stronger right then, and we're going to run through their wholesaler network. But as I said, it's really great because we stay 100% independent, and we get to leverage a real strong partner.
Let's,
in the market.
Okay, let's talk about your beer, only because I see Hoptronics opened up here.
Yeah, we brought Hoptronics that we just released towards the end of last year, a double IPA, 9%, huge blast of mosaic hops you're going to get in that one. A really well-balanced double IPA, though, and has been getting rave reviews online and quickly become a favorite locally.
I didn't clean my palate with a cracker or anything, but It tastes really, really. That's a absolutely unique hoppy.
Yeah, I malty mean, profile that we get out of the Mosaic hops has been really exciting to our brewers.
So for the listeners that don't know, an IPA versus a double IPA, what's the difference?
Sure, it's going to be a little bit higher on IBUs, international bitterness units, for the non-learned, and that just means it's going to be a little bit more bitter. But we New Holland always take an approach that we want balanced beers, so we balance that with a malt back. Background. And it's also a double IPA versus an IPA. It's usually going to be a little bit higher ABV. So,
which basically means you're just doubling the grain input, isn't it?
Yes.
Not necessarily always the hop, but at least the grain. So you're driving up the sugars, thus creating
you're driving
a,
up
a
that.
Greater...
You're usually balancing that out with more hops as well.
You about have to, don't you?
Yes.
Interesting.
And so something like this, like Hoptronics, would that be a malt or a wheat or what?
It's a malt. Yes.
You can taste it. I mean, it's kind of got a sweetness to it. So, I don't know. What's the IBU?
That one is 75,
not
I believe.
Not terribly high for a double, then.
Nope. And 9% ABV on
that. Oh, no.
7% on our standard IPA Mad Hatter.
Chef Dale, quick question for you.
Sure.
Are you using the beers that you're producing? Because you've got ones that are in distribution, but then you also have a house brewing system, if you will, and you can get beers there in-house at the restaurants that you only serve there. You don't package and sell. So I'm curious if you're using any of those in your recipes, and if so, explain a couple maybe.
Yeah, certainly. We use, when we do a lot of beer pairing dinners, so where when we put those dinners together, I like to draw upon what's at the property. So we have our pub brewer in Holland. His name is Steve Bertel, Bert, and fantastic guy. He's been doing it for when, you know, Moby Dick was a minnow is when he started. And so...
He said, Dick. He said Dick.
Yeah, Moby Dick was a minnow when he started. So we, you know, we feel it's something special that you can't have anywhere else. And John Bohr, who's our brewer at the Knickerbocker, does some really fantastic beers, and we're looking for that program really to grow. Basically, when I started, my background was in fine dining. And one of the partners had said to me, we were talking about a Toulouse sausage, and we always put wine in our Toulouse sausage. And we're sitting at the bar going over the recipe, and we're writing it on a napkin. And, you know, we're talking about like, well, you know, I made some comment like, well, you know, I'd love to use some sort of wine, but our wine, you know, I'm not really a big fan of the wine we serve. And he looks at me like I'm crazy, and he says, Dale, beer pays your rent. So maybe whenever you have a recipe and you think about wine and you need a liquid, think beer.
Right.
So it goes into our barbecue
and
sauce.
And it's probably actually even a better substitute if you think about it. I mean, just of all the multitude of ingredients that go into beer versus you've just got a grape with wine. You
right.
know, you've got a solitude there that.
I think once it's cooked, I think what happens with wine, too, it can become very general, where beer can have more character.
Still keep complexity.
Yeah, I think it has a little more character, where it's just not filling a role. I think when there's a few little guidelines, once you learn those, sometimes when you reduce and you do a lot of cooking, hoppy beers don't do well with that, but malty beers do.
Uh-huh.
Where
right.
we've done things with the Dragon's Milk.
That's a great tip right there.
I would not cook with Hoptronics.
No.
It's just way too good to drink. It'd be a waste.
And when it cooks down, it gets really
Dragon's Milk. I'm serious. I'd like to try that.
Well, not that triple though. That's sacrilegious.
I understand. Yeah, just wanted to keep that in the liquid form in a nice
regular
clear
Dragon's
glass.
Milk.
Interesting. So your top seller at the restaurant, when people walk in there, you're gotta have. Maybe not your top seller, but in your opinion, you're creating the magic. What's the gotta have? If you come to your restaurant, what do you recommend?
Oh, on the menu, food-wise?
Yeah.
Certainly. Well, I think the chili cheese fries. We talked a little bit about it offline where we make the Coney sauce.
They're that big, huh?
They're great. I have them on the menu at both restaurants. I'm a little proud of it. It's kind of it's my take on you know, being from the other side of the state, kind of a Detroit-style poutine. You know, we make our French fries.
Right. That's a great analogy, actually. I work in Canada a whole bunch. My company's from Canada. And I do those all the time. Of course, I'm stuck with it. That's all they have over there. I'm going to definitely try that. So tell us how you do that. Tell us how you make that.
Well, we have... you know, I guess it's a little secret, but I think we're in good company here for this, you know,
it's
on
only,
your show.
Yeah, it's only on
yeah,
that radio.
Yeah,
you
know,
ESPN.
And I think
no big deal.
People who are interested in this will be down with this. But
sure.
We buy grass-fed beef and we buy pastured pork. All the beef and pork that we purchase at the restaurant is grown, raised, ethically treated in Michigan. we have a huge supply of beef hearts that we run through, and we grind that to make the Coney sauce.
Sure.
And then we
classic.
Have, yeah, and Michigan cheese curds and all of our potatoes. We hand cut every French fry in the restaurant. We buy 2,000 pounds of potatoes a week that we cut by hand into French fries.
I do not want to be your sous chef.
We have
peel
people
taters,
for that.
Boy. Yeah.
We have people for that. And so we basically, it's the curds, the Coney sauce, and scallions on top. It's as simple as it gets. And I think it's just super delicious. And the way I try to coach the cooks up with it, I was like, I try to tell them, like, one person shouldn't be able to eat this unless they're really, really not.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and this is basically a New Holland show, Jop. I mean, well, our show plan is blown. These guys are just eating up every bit of airwave we have because they're that deep.
I don't think these guys have anything
they're
to do with
it. They're that deep. I mean, this thing is a mile deep.
No. You're missing it. It's the dragon that's eating everything up. It isn't. It isn't these guys. But fellas, we appreciate you guys coming in and spending some quality time with us.
To the point to where we want you to stick around for one more segment.
Right. We got one more segment. We got a little bit of man law, and we might talk a little bit about our Operation GI Barbecue update. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. Today's man law is, a best man's toast may not include any of the following phrases, Jop. Down in Tijuana.
You never want to start a story with
killer
that.
Right there. And we've all heard them. One time we were all drunk. Okay, you can't do that one either.
Right.
Or, and this girl had the biggest rack I ever saw. Can't
yeah,
do
probably
any
not
of
the
those
things you
for
do.
A best man's toast.
Yeah, I agree.
Not a good idea.
Simple stuff, but insightful nonetheless. But, fellas, we've had a lot of fun with this Knickerbocker and New Holland Brewery, man. These guys know what they're doing.
Hoptronics, man. Yeah. It is beautiful.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing. Bada boom, bada bing. Bing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Operation GI Barbecue before we finish up, because I know you got a little update for us, and we like to keep everybody on
yep.
point with that.
Yep, that's right. We still have 2/3 of our shipment sitting in the warehouse at Perforated Tube in Ada, which is charcoal, barbecue sauce, and a couple of Big Judge smokers, which Jop had the luxury of smoking on this week.
That's right.
Okay. My buddy David Webb, and if you're not familiar with David Webb, go on Sirius Satellite, the Patriot Channel, 125. Look up David Webb Show, and you'll see David there. He's all over the country with various national organizations, but I do a segment with him every Thursday night on Sirius Channel 125 at 11 p.m. Eastern, and it's the time when he and I just have a little fun talking about barbecue and GIs and whatever we feel like talking to. But he's really heavily connected with the military and helping us in a great way get that shipment gone so we can go overseas with that last load, because the first load went to Fort Bragg. We have two more shipments that are sitting in holding waiting for the U.S. military to give us the nod. And I'm thinking, now that we have a new government that's pro-military, she's going to roll. So I'm thinking we're going to get a green light, and that barbecue equipment's going to go. But in the meantime, you have to go down to New Holland's Brewing Company's Knickerbocker in Grand Rapids, Michigan, because what Chef Dale's talking about here with what you're doing in that butcher shop is unprecedented, Jeff.
Right.
Do you see anybody doing anything like that?
No, we've not run across it, and that's why we wanted to feature it today, because the uniqueness that we have in West Michigan, and people can walk in there and try this stuff. I mean, this is not an exclusive club. This is a public restaurant. It's right downtown Grand Rapids. Easy to find. Joel, Chef Dale, what is the address if people wanted to know? Do either one of you know it? If not, 131 in Bridge Street. I got puzzled look like, don't do that to me, Jop.
It's real easy. It's 131 in Bridge.
Right, and you'll see it. It's a five-story building. You absolutely can't miss it.
Google it.
But anyway, Joel, anything exciting happening with new beers that you're aware of that are going to come out here for the late winter, early spring that we should watch for?
Yeah, I mean, the seasonal we have out right now is Cabin Fever, so roasty brown ale, really good for those long Michigan winter nights.
This time of year, the browns just really work well. What is that connectivity there?
I mean, it's just, it's warming, and it's the perfect beer for sitting around the fire.
Because it's a
little thicker. It is called Cabin Fever, you know?
And, a little smoother, thicker.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot more mouth feel there. Yeah. A little creamier is a good word for that. Pairs well with some of those heartier meats.
You're not going to do a quantity like you would on a hot summer day where you just want a bunch of sessions or something like that. You're just going to have a nice sipping slow brown. So, Chef Dale, talking about your, for the last little minute here, why would someone want to try all those great charcuterie products you have there? Tell us in two sentences what the moment is there.
Well, I think for us, what we do really special is the thoughtful sourcing and supporting Michigan farmers. The animals that we purchase lead good lives. Our hamburger is from a dairy cull cow. We actually grind a full half, and that's where the burgers are from as we speak. That's our beef program as it sits. You know, I think because it's something you can feel good about. The animals only have one bad day. They're Michigan animals. And I think there's a one bad day.
This guy's full of great sayings.
I know. I love him. He's it's like
great stuff.
I've met a couple deer like that.
Yeah, one bad day. And I think there's people there who work there who take a lot of pride in what they do.
Sure.
They take a lot of care in what they do. And I think it translates on the plate.
Well, it does because even the wait staff is fantastic there. It's just a great place to go to. So Knickerbocker, Grand Rapids, Michigan, New Holland Brewing Company, wherever you're listening in the world, go to your local beer store. And if he doesn't have it, just say, I need some Dragon's Milk.
Hey, get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker. You're going to be north of 50 this weekend. This is your January chance to create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.